Sometimes you have to throw all caution to the wind. This is Father Scott Seetoller. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, you're ready to pull your hair out, stop. Come on now. If you follow Jesus Christ, you got to remember the words from the musical Les Miserables. The song that has the words, "To love another person is to see the face of God." I mean, don't we believe that? What we do to the least of our brothers and sisters, we do to Jesus. Jesus told that to us in Matthew 25. It's easy to love our friends and our relatives, but to love the people who get on our nerves, to love the people who are con artists, we have to love them. We have to be cautious sometimes, and sometimes we have to throw caution to the wind and trust that God will take care of us when we are acting as loving people. Today I want to share with you a scripture passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Verses 1-7. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats, left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have not caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking that if you've been listening to the program so far this week, you've seen, using scripture passages from Matthew and John's Gospel and now from Luke's Gospel, that I'm pushing a certain point here, and that is, following Jesus, as a layperson, a religious, or a priest, one, takes a wholehearted commitment. Two, it takes a willingness to follow Jesus even when you still have some of your questions unanswered. And three, it means doing things that you initially would say, it's not going to work. Isn't that what Simon Peter is saying to Jesus? "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." So his initial inclination, being a fisherman, knowing the waters, staying up all that evening, coming in very disappointed, his initial reaction is, say, "Master, it's not going to work." But listen what he says. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." As skeptical as he was, when he did what Jesus told him to do, they caught so many fish that they had a call to another boat to come out and help them. And both boats were so full that they began to sink. Now, we live in a time of great skepticism. We're skeptical about politicians. We're skeptical about the media. We're skeptical about certain religious leaders. Skepticism is really so much a part of the human condition, but more so than ever do I sense a certain skepticism. And what does skepticism do to us? Well, it makes us it makes us really hesitant. It makes us cautious. You know, we're constantly being told to watch out for con artists because con artists prey on elderly people. And elderly people should be very careful not to let a con artist take advantage of them. And, you know, we're skeptical about giving to certain charities because we have found out that those charities use most of the money for administration, for very, very expensive furniture in their offices, for an expense account, for living high on the hog. So, you know, that makes us so skeptical. But you can't take that approach when Jesus talks to your heart directly. When Jesus says, listen, here's what I want you to do. You prayed about it. You might have gotten spiritual advice. Like Simon Peter, you're tempted to say, I don't see how this is going to work. I don't see how it's going to work. But you do it. Well, the payoff is amazing. Just like the two boats being full with fish that they almost sank. When God said to me he wanted me to help the poor, I had always helped the poor in the United States. Being a Franciscan, that's what God asked me to do. But when God asked me to help the poor outside the United States and gave me the opportunity to do that by going to Oaxaca, Mexico, which is way down south, one of the poorest areas of Mexico, my friends were working there, so I went down to visit them, and when I saw the poverty, when I saw the lack of medical attention, when people couldn't either afford to receive medical attention, or there was such a scarcity of medical attention, and God said to me, do something about it. Well, obviously, initially my reaction was, what can one person do? Isn't that always the reaction? Well, what can I do, given the size of the immensity of the problem? Well, God wouldn't let me off the hook that easy. He said, do something about it. Well, I don't speak Spanish really very well. God said, learn. Well, my community doesn't have a ministry down here. Yeah, but you have friends here. Well, I would have to raise a lot of money to find a place that we could buy and hopefully have a building for the clinic. And God said, don't you think I won't open those doors for you if you follow my will? So I was only visiting for 5 days, and lo and behold, this is in 1999. I go back to the United States. I get permission from my superiors to pursue this dream, this call from God. And things start to happen. People, my friends and people who heard me preach, well, they caught my enthusiasm. And they trusted me. They trusted me that I would use the money, every penny of it, for the poor. And then back in Oaxaca, Mexico, where I'm up in the United States, telling about my experiences, starting to gather resources. My friends are having little miracles happen for them as God helps them to find the right place so that the poor can walk to it. And they get the property. And they find a building on that property that they're able to remodel. And I could go on and on and on. But here's my point. And I don't think I'm the exception here. God, when we throw caution to the wind, because we're responding to what God wants us to do, we'll be blessed. You know, I really think that so many people are afraid to say yes to God because they're afraid that God will leave them high and dry, that God will pull the rug out from under their feet, that God will not be there when they're faced with opposition, setbacks. And so, what do? Well, we become skeptical, we become cautious, we play our cards close to our chest, we listen to family members and friends say, you can't stretch yourself that far, you can't spend that kind of time in prayer, you can't give your resources to the poor like that, you can't keep on helping in the parish or the church, you can't, And what do they mean by you can't? Well, they mean that you're going to run out of resources, you won't have enough time, you'll burn out. Hey! Aren't we forgetting something very important? If the call was authentically from God, God gives us amazing grace. God gives us the help. God gives us the strength. God will guide us. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. Never forget that. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. As I said at the beginning of the program, there are times, and one has to discern them. But if it's genuinely from God, there are times when we have to throw all caution to the wind. You know who I want you to pray for today? Yesterday I had you pray for paraplegics. Today I want you to pray for quadriplegics. Those are people paralyzed from the neck down. I've met quadriplegics who are able to live a pretty full life. They were able to really, genuinely muster their energy, learn the skills. They're inspirational to me, but they need our prayer support, okay? Here's today's food for thought. I'll say it again one more time. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. Today's small attempt to make you laugh. A hamburger and fries, a man orders. Me too, said the ostrich sitting beside him. That's $9.40, the waitress says. The man reaches into his pocket and hands her the exact change. They return the next day. Both order a steak and potato. And again, the man pays with exact change. How do you do that? The waitress asks. A genie granted me two wishes, explains the man. My first was that I'd always have the right amount of money to pay for anything. Brilliant. But what's with the ostrich? Get this. Well, my second wish was for an exotic chick with long legs who agrees with everything I say. What a great joke.
I liked it.
Want to contact me? Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you that you listen to the program and that you like it. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll storm heaven with you. I'll be your prayer partner. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. You can stay in touch that way. And any support you can give me from my hospital for the very poor. I mean, you can't believe the poverty in Oaxaca, Mexico. You can make a check out to Tash, T-A-S-H, Inc., send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you're comfortable using the Internet, why not visit my website? My web address is fatherscott.com. Spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore.